Amen. Amen. How many of you guys believe that God is able to do all things? Come on. No matter what it looks like, no matter what you may be facing, there is nothing that you are going through right now that God cannot handle and get you through. And you actually came on a great Sunday, because that's really what our message is all about today, and I'm excited to preach it today. So we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to start reading at about verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 is a powerful passage of scripture there. And I believe that many times when we find ourselves in these moments of difficulty and these moments that are sometimes unplanned, we can begin to lose hope and begin to doubt, begin to kind of raise questions as to whether or not God is with us and for us. But I believe this scripture is going to really help us to see that. So I'm going to ask just all of us to stand to our feet just for the honoring and reading of God's word, as his word is the thing that changes us and transforms us. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Boasting is necessary. It is not profitable, but I will move on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who was caught up to the third heaven 14 years ago. Whether he was in the body or out of the body, I don't know. God knows. I know that this man, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, God knows, was caught up into paradise," meaning heaven, "and heard inexpressible words which a human being is not allowed to speak. I will boast about this person, but not about myself, except of my weaknesses. For if I want to boast, I wouldn't be a fool, because I would be telling the truth. But I will spare you, so that no one can credit me with something beyond what he sees in me or hears from me, especially because of the extraordinary revelations. Therefore, so that I would not exalt myself, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to torment me, so that I would not exalt myself. Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord three times," "that it would leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will most gladly boast all the more about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may reside in me. So I take pleasure in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, and in difficulties for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" So today I just want to preach from this theme in thought: pains and gains. Pains and gains. Tell the person beside you as you go to your seat, "No pain, no gain." Amen. You can be seated. No pain, no gain. Amen. So good to see all of us here today. If you guys could just bring these lights up just a little bit, that'd be much appreciated. And can we put our hands together for our worship team just for leading us this morning in worship? Amen. And while you're doing that, can you make some noise for all of our online family via Facebook Live? Amen. So good to have everyone joining us. The cool thing about technology is it allows us to be able to share the gospel and to give the gospel to so many different people. And we bless God for all that he's doing. And our team, they're passing out some cards to you. And those cards on the top, it just says, "Make a difference." And the reason why we're passing these cards out is because we believe that you have a calling, you have a purpose. We believe that there's something great that God wants to do in your life. And there's so many opportunities for you to step into that and to tap into that through our church, through what we call our B team, which is different areas or people in our church, rather, that serve in different capacities. And so if you've been coming to the Bridge for some time and you haven't kind of started getting involved in contributing, you know, it's great to consume. There's nothing wrong with receiving. But Jesus says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And so if you've been coming here for a while, you've been consuming, I want to respectfully say it is time for you to get in the game. It is time for you to contribute. God has so much that he wants to do, not just through or in you, but also through you, that's going to impact so many lives and so many people. Our church is what it is today because people have said, "My life is not about me. It's about what God wants to do through me." And so that's what this that card is all about. And it really connects with the theme of this year for our church, which is the word greater. And a few weeks ago, we kicked off this series coming out of John chapter 3, verse 30, where John the Baptist, somebody that was used greatly by God to usher in the ministry of Jesus, he said these words in John 3, 30. "He must become greater," talking about Jesus, "and I must become less." He must become greater, I must become less. And the reason why that, I think, is so important is because it helps us to understand something about what God wants to do in our lives. Like, many of us in here want greater. Like, how many of you guys want greater? You want to see God do greater things in your life? That should be everybody's hand going up. There's nothing wrong with that. You should want that. Like, God wants to do greater in your life. But in order for you to experience greater, Jesus must become greater. In order for you to experience greater, Jesus must become greater. In order for you to experience greater, Jesus has to become greater. That's what I want us to get in our hearts. We got it for you on the screen. You guys go ahead and put it up so that way everybody can see it if it's not already up. In order for me to experience greater, Jesus must become greater. I want you to get that in your heart. That's really the linchpin behind this whole entire series and behind this whole entire year, is that Jesus has to become greater. What do we mean by that? He must become the greatest influence in my life. He must become the greatest voice in my life, that I got to shape everything around Jesus. And so now the question is, where does Jesus need to become greater in my life? There may be some areas where you've given him full access and full authority, but there may be some other areas where, you know, it's kind of like, hey, Jesus, you just sit in the back seat. I'm going to drive. I'm going to take it from here. You know what I mean? And Jesus is like, no. I'm either going to drive or not. Like, let me drive. Like, I know where I'm going. I know what I'm doing. I know the way. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And so Jesus is the way. And so what I really hope for and long for this year for you and just for our church is that we will be people who say it's all about Jesus. Like, my life is not my own. Like I want to live for him, and I want to see him do greater. And that's what it's all about. Last week, we talked about a greater love, and we talked about how Jesus admonishes us to get on his level in terms of being able to love people and what love really looks like. If you missed any part of the message series, you can go online or download our app from the App Store to catch up there. But here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10, is a passage of scripture that I absolutely love, because I think it speaks so much to what many of us may kind of find ourselves wrestling with and dealing with. But in case you don't really know too much about 2 Corinthians 12 and what's going on here, you have the Apostle Paul, and he has written this incredible letter under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the church. And as he's writing these words to the church here in chapter 12, he actually says something very, very powerful, that when I am weak, then I am strong. When I am weak, then I am strong. Then he even says these words from Jesus, that his grace is sufficient. So I want to talk about pains and gains today, or just to go along with the theme of this year and this series. I want to talk about greater strength. Greater strength, pains and gains. So the Apostle Paul was this incredible guy that was used by God to spread the gospel all throughout the known world in the first century Greco-Roman context. He's known as an apostle. An apostle was somebody who was always a messenger or a carrier of good news. And he was an apostle in the sense of Jesus had appeared to Paul. He was known as Saul. And in Acts chapter 9, he had this face-to-face encounter with Jesus, and his life was radically transformed to the point where Jesus now empowered him to be an apostle, meaning that God had called Paul to now go plant churches everywhere. In other words, to start churches all over the known world so that people could know Jesus, so that way people could know God. That's what our prayer focus was yesterday for Saturday morning prayer, which was absolutely incredible. And I want to encourage you to come out this coming up Saturday, the Saturday morning prayer at 9, from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. But his heartbeat was for people to know God, to know Jesus. And so Paul was somebody who he's called and he's gifted. But here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he talks about this time that he experiences this great discomfort. He finds himself experiencing this moment of being overwhelmed, this moment of going through a painful time. And this came on the heels of this incredible experience that he describes here. And in the first 6 to 7 verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul begins to talk about, like, you know, I'm not going to boast, but I'm not going to brag, but I'm going to brag a little bit, you know what I mean? And I'm going to talk about this guy. I know a guy who, you know, had this crazy vision. Usually when you say, like, you know, I know somebody like that, it's probably because you're talking about yourself. And so he's kind of on a humble brag. And so most scholars believe, which I believe as well, that the description that Paul is talking about here and the person that he's talking about who had these crazy revelations and this crazy encounter with God was not anybody else. It was actually Paul, which he kind of tips his hat to later on in Scripture, where he says, in order to keep me from being proud, I received this thorn, which we'll talk more about in a moment. But Paul has this crazy, radical encounter where the Bible says that he was caught up into the third heaven. Now, some of you guys are like, wait a minute. There's levels to this? What do you mean third heaven? What is Paul getting at with third heaven? Well, in biblical antiquity and in biblical scripture and all throughout the scriptures, there's oftentimes these different references to these different heavens. You know, you have a first heaven, you have a second heaven, you have a third heaven. And that really is just language to speak about the different layers of God's creation. So the first heaven is oftentimes known as earth's atmosphere. You'll see that mentioned like in the book of Psalms. But then you get into the second heaven, which is mentioned later on in scripture. And that has more so to do with the stars and the cosmos and the different galaxies and the different planets. But then Paul speaks about this third heaven being caught up in a vision or out of the body. We don't really know if it was, you know, a vision. We don't know if his actual body was. We don't really know. He doesn't really give us too much of a description there. But nonetheless, he saw and had this out of body, this out of world experience where he was experiencing the third heaven. And the third heaven is the space and the dwelling place of God, which is why later on he says that what I saw I was not able to speak of. No person is allowed to speak of. It gotta be something serious and something incredible to leave you speechless. Only God can do something like that. And Paul is talking about this awesome experience that he had where he was caught up into this third heaven. But then he moves to now talking about how after this, God allows him to experience this painful moment where Satan brought about some tremendous suffering and difficulty. So in verses 7 through 8, notice what he says. He says, especially because of the extraordinary revelations, therefore, so that I would not exalt myself, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to torment me so that I would not exalt myself. A thorn. Everybody say thorn. And Paul, in the next verse, says, I pleaded with the Lord three times to remove it. So here's what we know about a thorn. Thorns hurt. Y'all ever use the saying, this thing is a thorn in my side? You ever had a thorn in your finger? Like, you didn't even know how it got there, but it's there, and you press a little bit hard, or if you bump up against something, it just irritates you, and it causes a lot of pain, and you try to get some tweezers to take it out, and you're still not able to take it out, and it's just annoying, and it's just frustrating, and it just hurts a whole lot. That's what Paul is talking about here, that I got this thorn, and we don't know what specifically his thorn was. We don't know if it was something spiritual. We don't know if it was physical. We don't know if it was mental. We don't know if it was psychological. There's been debate for centuries as to what it was, the thorn that Paul is ultimately talking about here, but nowhere in Scripture does it ever tell us the specific thing that Paul is referencing here. The only thing that Scripture tells us is that it hurt, and he wanted it gone. Have you ever been in a moment where you found yourself dealing with something that hurt, and you wanted it gone? Let me answer the question for you. Yes. This is what I believe Paul is helping us understand when it comes to pains and gains. He's talking about first here, the struggle. The struggle that we oftentimes face. The struggle. Everybody say the struggle. That is what you and I oftentimes will experience as we go through life. That there will be these moments of struggle, and what Paul is experiencing and battling was so painful, so heavy, so overwhelming that it was too much to carry, where he wanted it gone, and he even asked Jesus to remove it three times. Very similar to how Jesus, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, asked God the Father to remove the cup from him three times. If it's possible, Lord, can you just do away with it? Have you ever been in a moment where you just were asking God, can you just remove this? Can you just remove this thing? Some of you guys have said, can you remove this person? Can you remove this job and replace it with a better job? Can you just remove this struggle that I'm dealing with? Can you just remove this temptation? Can you just remove this ailment and this issue that I'm dealing with? What this passage reveals is no matter how anointed, no matter how gifted, no matter how called you are, there will always be moments of struggle and difficulty that you will experience. And in all actuality, I am glad that the Bible does not tell us what Paul's thorn is. Because if we were to find out what it is, we may deem it as very insignificant or too problematic. I think it's the genius and the omniscience of God to not directly tell us what his thorn was so that all of us in here can relate to it. Because all of us in here got some type of a thorn right now that we are dealing with. That while we were in this broken world, we will experience difficulty. You will experience brokenness. You will experience heavy moments, times of struggle. Some of you already this year have experienced struggle. You lost a job. A family member passed away. There's been mental health issues. There's been anxiety that you've been battling. There's insecurities that you're battling. Maybe you're having a marital struggle. Your friends have rejected you. You didn't pass the class that you were expecting to pass last semester. Now you got to take it again. And you find yourself dealing with all of these struggles. The health of a family member is not getting better. It's deteriorating and it's getting worse. And you just find yourself dealing with this struggle. Am I alone in here, or does anybody know what I'm talking about? Struggle, man. The struggle is real. And the person that you're sitting next to, their struggle may not be the same, but the struggle is just as real. That all of us in here deal with struggle. We experience these moments that are too heavy to bear, these weaknesses. And if we could just be honest in here, it can sometimes almost feel like when we have these moments of struggle, if we could be real, this is the dirty little secret you don't like to ever talk about. But when you go through these moments, the question that you oftentimes ask is, God, where are you? We don't want to be real, but that's what you think. God, where are you? I want you to know that you're not the only person who kind of wrestled with that. Because in the Bible, in Psalm 42, verse 3, notice what the psalm writer says. My tears have been food. My tears have been my food. If your tears are your food, that means you had to do a whole lot of crying. That means there was a whole lot of anxiety. He says, my tears have been my food day and night. While all day long, people say to me, where is your God? Some of you guys have dealt with that. Where is God? In the midst of the struggle that I'm facing and dealing with, where is God? I'm battling this, and it almost seems as if I'm alone and that there's nobody here with me, and I'm going through this difficulty by myself. And the enemy likes to begin to whisper these lies and raise this question that sometimes if we're not careful, we can end up echoing, where is God? But I like what Pastor Dorian Gray says. He says, the presence of pain doesn't mean the absence of God. The presence of pain does not equate to the absence of God. That's what the enemy would like you to believe. That when you're going through painful moments, that it means that God is not with you. And some of you are here today and you're asking, how do I get through this moment of feeling overwhelmed? How can I make it through the pain? How can I make it through the setback? How can I make it through the regular struggle that I face? Let me say something. 2020 is the year of greater. We're declaring that over your life, and I hope you're believing that for your life. But that also means that you will experience great difficulties and struggles in ways that you didn't expect, in ways that you didn't plan for, and in ways that you didn't see coming. It means that this year, you're going to experience some difficulties that were not a part of the plan. Who expects to go to the doctor tomorrow and to get news that you only got a few months to live? Who expects to, you can't game plan for that. Who expects to go to the car and to turn on the car only for it not to start up? You don't plan for that. Who expects to go to work tomorrow and you're thinking it's all good only for you to be called into your supervisor's office and for them to let you know, hey, we're downsizing. Your job is a part of that. Who plans for that? You don't expect that. But Pastor, I believe that God is saying 2020 is my year of greater, but it doesn't look greater because there's a lot of struggles. There's a lot of problems. And there's a lot of difficulties. And Paul can identify what you and I deal with. He can identify with the thorn in the side, the pain that that thing is causing you, the thing that you've been praying for, you've been pleading with God for days and months. God, would you do something about it? And it almost seems as if he is inactive. You've been calling him, and he's just been hitting the red button on you. That's what it feels like. You've been texting him, and you don't even see no bubbles popping up. Like, did you get my message? Did you get my message? Did you get my message? That's how it feels for some of you right now. That's how it feels for some of us. And I'm going to be real with you. I feel your pain because I've been there, and I know what it feels like. Know what it feels like when it's like, man, this thing is so painful, and this thing is so aggravating, and this thing is so frustrating, and you're seeking God, you're fasting about it, and you're pleading the blood of Jesus all over it, you're pleading with Jesus over and over again, and you're believing, and you're hoping, and it still ain't changed. Anybody ever been there before? You're believing for something, it didn't happen, and it's easy in this moment to think that your struggle is final. But Paul says, what I learned in my struggle is that struggle wasn't the end. It was actually the beginning. It was the beginning of something greater. And he speaks about this in verse 9. Verse 8, back up, he says, concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it would leave me. But here's what he said to me. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. Here's one thing that Paul teaches us when we go through struggles. I love it. In the midst of Paul's pain, Paul shows us the right thing to do. And you know what that right thing to do is? Turn to Jesus. Turn to the Lord. He pleaded with Jesus three times. But here's the core principle. He pleaded with Jesus. He went to Jesus. And sometimes if we're not careful, when we find ourselves in unbearable situations and difficult moments and painful moments, if we're not careful, we can fall into the trap of the enemy and not turning to Jesus, but in turning to other things. We may turn to stuff, we may turn to substances, we may turn to people, we may turn to platforms, we may turn to this and turn to that and turn to alcohol and turn to pornography and turn to all these different things, only to find out that this does not help us with our struggle. If anything, it actually makes things worse. Paul helps us to see, turn to Jesus. He says, I pleaded with the Lord. And he helps us to understand that the best one to turn to when you and I feel weak and feel the struggle and feel hopeless and feel overwhelmed. Some of you guys came in here today feeling overwhelmed. I could feel it. I could see it, man. It took everything in you to get here today, and you just had a crazy week, and it was just so difficult, and the kids were getting on your nerves, and you just feel exhausted. You got like 3 hours of sleep a night because as soon as you went to bed, it was time to get up to go to work, and you're trying to do this, and you're trying to do that, and it seems like nothing is working in your life, and you're just like, man, like I'm exhausted, and I'm tired, and I'm dealing with a whole lot, and I just need to know, is there any relief for what it is that I'm going through? And Jesus is here to tell you there is. There is good news that for every struggle, there is strength. I thought you guys would like that and say amen right there. That for the struggle that you feel, there is strength that God gives. So notice what Jesus says here. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfected in weakness. Paul turns to Jesus. He shows us the process and the way in which we should handle our struggles, which is to turn to God. This was not just something that Paul did. This was also something that plenty of people in the Bible did. There was another verse in Psalm 18, verse 6, where the psalm writer was dealing with a very difficult moment. And he says this in Psalm 18, 6, I called the Lord in my distress. You know what distress means? Struggle, trouble, difficulty. Who do you call when you go through? Your best friend? Your boo, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your husband, your wife. There's nothing wrong with calling them, but that is not the source of strength. That is not where true strength that you need to overcome and to get through what it is that you're going through comes from. The psalm writer says, I called to the Lord in my distress, and I cried to my God for help from his temple. Watch this. He heard my voice, and my cry came to him and reached his ears. In the midst of Paul's pain, I love the fact that Jesus not only hears Paul's pain, but he speaks to Paul's pain. So notice that the Bible says, he said to me, my grace is sufficient. I want you to know something, family. Jesus brought you here today to speak a word to you in the middle of the struggle that you are going through right now. He divinely orchestrated everything in your life to bring you here today, to meet you, to speak to you, to give you hope, to give you an encouraging word, to let you know that for the struggle that you are facing, there is strength for it. So he says these words, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfected in weakness." Notice here, he says, "My grace." Not the grace of, not the strength of this world. Not somebody else. My grace. Mine. In other words, this is me, Paul. This is my strength. This is a greater thing. This is something that you can't get from any other place and any other person or any other platform. It only comes from me. In other words, you need something greater to get you through what you're going through right now. And in case some of you guys are here today and like, "Oh, Pastor, I'm not really going through anything right now, man. Everything is peachy creamy." Here's what I want you to understand. That's awesome. It may not be for you right now, but it will be for you later on this year, because you will face something in your life this year, I can promise you. And I'm not sitting up here trying to throw shade. I'm saying we live in a fallen world, and as long as things are broken in this world, you and I will experience some level of struggle and some level of difficulty at some point in this life. And when that happens, you need something greater to help you. Paul speaks to this, but more specifically, Jesus does. He says, "My grace." Everybody say grace. Grace. It is the Greek word charis, which refers to God's undeserved kindness. And then he says, "My power," which is the Greek word dunamis. It is where we get our English word dynamite. In other words, it refers to this force, this strength, achieving and sustained power. In other words, Jesus doesn't just give you power for one moment. He gives you power that actually lasts. He's better than the Energizer Bunny that keeps on going and going and going. No. His power never runs out. He doesn't just give you power for yesterday, but he gives you power for today and tomorrow. Jesus is ultimately saying to Paul that the grace that was strong enough to save you from your sin, it's also the grace that's strong enough to sustain you in your struggle. I know this is probably not what we want to hear, because what we want to hear is, "God, take it away, take it away, take it away." And let me help you understand, there are some moments where God takes it away. But then, let me be real with you, I need you to understand this, I need you to get this. There are some moments where God does not take it away. But it does not mean that God is any less powerful. Actually, it begins to reveal a strength in God that you would have never seen had he taken it away. In other words, he says, "My power is not just enough to save you from the depth of your sin, but it's also enough to be able to get you through your difficulty. My power and strength," he's saying, "is all you need in the moment of difficulty." He's saying, "Your pain may be great, but my grace, my strength is greater." Let me say it like this. Here's what Jesus is saying. I am what you need, and I am who you need. I am what you need, and I am who you need. Have you ever noticed how so many times in Scripture, and especially in the book of John, Jesus says these words, "I am the bread of life." In other words, I'm the one who satisfies you. "I am the living water. Anybody who comes to me will never go thirsty again. They will drink and never go thirsty again. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door. I am the gate. I am this. I am that." Here's what Jesus is ultimately saying. I am everything that you need, no matter what it is you are going through. My grace is sufficient. But here's where it gets really good. He says, "My strength is made perfect," or perfected in weakness. The word "perfect" in the original language, it actually means to be made complete, but more specifically, it means this. I hope you're ready for this. It means to be made fully revealed. So in other words, here's what you're saying, Jesus. In weakness, your strength is fully revealed. In times of struggle, your strength is fully revealed. Meaning this, there is only certain dynamics of the strength and the power of God that you will only experience and comprehend when you go through something. Many of us want the story of a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but don't want to go through the furnace. God is the God who is able to keep you out of the furnace. Shout over that. Amen. But he is also the God who is able to preserve you through it. Oh, that's why we don't like to get excited, because that means we got to be in some uncomfortable situations. But God is saying here today that it does not matter the situation you find yourself in. My strength is enough. My grace is enough. I know it's difficult and I know it hurts, but I want you to understand that I can sustain you through this. His grace is stronger. His strength is stronger. So in other words, if you're going through something overwhelming today, if you're going through a struggle, if you're going through a temptation, and you're dealing with something that's very massive and it seems like as if it is too heavy, the good news is this, that our weaknesses, our moments of struggle, our moments of being overwhelmed are the ingredients for God to show off. So when you go through a difficult moment, here's what you need to learn to say. Do your thing, Jesus. Show off. Show off. Somebody say show off. Show off. Show off so that way you can get all the glory. Show off so that way when everybody sees it, they ask the question, how did you make it through this? What kind of strength did you tap into in order to make it through this? And you would be able to tell them that it wasn't my own strength. It was the strength and the power of God that got me through the darkest and most difficult moment of my life. It's the strength of God. In our weakest moment, we're able to see the strength of God. Matter of fact, Paul even speaks about another situation that he faced in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I was contemplating preaching this scripture, but I decided just to kind of reference it. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 11, I want us to get there. Guys, if you could bring it up on the screen, because I need you to get this. It says this: we don't want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of our affliction that took place in Asia. Watch this. We were completely overwhelmed beyond our strength. Completely overwhelmed beyond our strength, so that we even despised of life itself. Watch verse 9. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. So much to the point that we no longer could trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a terrible death, and he will deliver us. We have put our hope in him that he will deliver us again. I love that scripture. Why do I love this scripture? Y'all have heard the saying, I'm pretty sure it's a cultural phenomenon. We say it all the time, and I don't know if we really process it and we have a really solid theological understanding of it, but we say things like this: God won't put more on you than you can bear. Here's what I want you to understand what Paul is saying. That is a lie. What do you mean? Yeah, he will. He won't put more on me. Yes, he will. He will allow you to go through moments. Paul says it right here. Watch what he says. Go back to verse 8. We were completely overwhelmed beyond our strength. In other words, the weight that we felt, we didn't have enough to be able to carry it. We didn't have what it took to be able to make it through it. And then he says it like this: indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, so that we would not trust in ourselves. Why does God allow you to carry more than you can bear? So that you could understand you were never meant to carry it, but that he was the one meant to carry it. So God will intentionally allow us to get in moments that we can't get ourselves out of. How do we know this to be true? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, tell us about it. We believed that we wanted to get in the furnace, but then we found ourselves in a furnace and we could not get out. We were tied, we were bound, we were thrown in, and the furnace was heated up 7 times hotter than normal. I would say that is a situation that qualifies that he allowed us to go through something more than we could bear. In order to understand the power, you got to understand what they said before they got in. Our God is able to rescue us. Even if he doesn't, we won't bow. Our God is able to rescue us. So even if you throw us in here, our faith is not in ourselves to wiggle ourselves out of this situation. Our faith is in God, the one who can save us, the one who can redeem us. Paul's confidence is not in himself. It is in Jesus. And when we say things like, God won't put more on us than we can bear, what we're subliminally saying is that I have the strength that I need to overcome the struggle that I am facing. And I'm here to tell you, no, you don't. No. This is also why Paul says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who, what? Gives me strength. Somebody say strength. I want you to understand the struggle that is too much for you, the struggle that you thought you could carry on your own, that you can't carry today, and you're trying to figure out, how am I going to make it? I'm here to tell you that there's good news. You don't have to try to carry the struggle any longer on your own. If you would give it to Jesus and let him take care of it, he will give you everything that you need to be able to make it through whatever it is that you're going through. In other words, Dr. Duran Gray says it like this. Dr. Tony Evans says this, you won't discover that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. So Jesus will intentionally allow you to get in situations where nothing around you can work. You can't pay your way out of this. You can't create your way out of this. You can't work your way out of this one. Working more overtime ain't gonna help you with this. Mm-mm. Buying more houses ain't going to get you out of this one. No. In order for you to overcome this and to get through this, you need the strength of God, which means this, our response to this should be, we depend on God's grace to help us in times of weakness and feeling overwhelmed. So in other words, we say things like this, Lord, I feel overwhelmed, and it's just too much to carry. So, Lord, I want to give it to you. And it sounds very similar to 1 Peter 5:7, where Peter says, cast all your cares on him. Why? Because he cares for you. I give him the weight that I'm feeling. Some of you came in here carrying weight. I'm not talking about the literal weight, you know, maybe yeah, Planet Fitness type weight. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the weight of emotional turmoil that you're feeling, the depression that you've been battling, the temptations that you've been experiencing, the struggles that you've been experiencing. I'm here to tell you that this weight, I know it's heavy, but there's good news. You don't got to carry this. Matter of fact, I got a dumbbell over here that I wanted to bring out, and I got somebody that's going to help me with this. Jason, come on up here real quick, brother. I want to help drive home this point even more, because I think how we live our lives, right, is we walk around carrying this weight, right? Now, Jason, as you can see, like, he's bigger than me. So he's going to play Jesus, and I'm just going to be me, right? And so this right here has a good amount of weight, right? And I think what happens is we go through life, and we got this massive weight, and it's like, all right, I can do it. I can lift it, struggling, just like the baby's making noise right there. And it's like, all right, let me just try a little bit harder. And now what happens is you end up lifting this weight that's too heavy for you. And you end up causing yourself harm, tearing a muscle. And now because you tore a muscle lifting a weight you weren't supposed to carry, the little things in life that are light you can't carry. So now you shut everything down in life, because you were carrying weight that you were never meant to carry. But what Jesus says is, hey, how about you let me get a try? And he says this, I don't want to be your spotter, because your spotter still puts, it's still you putting confidence in your strength. No. This is a weight that you can't curl this on your own. This is hard. It's a beast. I'm sweating up under this hoodie. But if you give it to Jesus, Look at this. You see how easy that is? Let's try it again. Let me try it one more time. Yep. It's a beast right here. Like, I'm making faces, grunting. Like, but Jesus? It's easy. You know what Jesus is telling you today? Stop trying to lift the weight that you were never meant to carry. Let me lift this weight. Let me curl this weight. Because when you put it in my hands, I'm the one who can actually help you. I'm willing to sit in the chair and do the lifting for you. Come on, somebody. That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that Jesus carries the weight for us. Even when we're weak, when we are weak, he is strong. When we're going through, he is stronger. When we're defeated, he is greater. Come on, somebody. That is the strength and the mercy and the greatness of our God. That he lifts this way. Y'all make some noise for Jesus, Jason, right here. That brother lifted that with ease, man. But that's what Jesus does. He says it like this in Matthew 8. Take upon yourself my yoke. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. In other words, he's saying, take upon yourself me. Let me do the lifting. I want you to understand something here. The weight never changed. It was still the same weight. But change was the one carrying it. That was the only difference. Same weight, different carrier. And I wonder if some of us are here today and the stress that you're feeling and the difficulty that you're feeling right now is made worse because you are in here trying and attempting to carry something that you were never meant to carry. Jesus says, let me carry it. Put it in my hands. Watch what I do. So then Paul says it like this in verse 10. It's like he has this revelatory moment after Jesus says everything. He says, therefore, I most gladly boast about all of the more about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may reside in me. So he says, I take pleasure in weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and difficulties for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I want you to understand something. If you're here today and you're feeling a struggle and you're feeling a weakness, the good news is it is not the end of you. It's the beginning of something much greater. It's the beginning of a greater strength that God wants to bring forth in your life. It's the beginning of something amazing that God wants to do, where we no longer depend on ourselves, but we depend on the one who is able to lift all things, the one who is able to carry our afflictions and carry our infirmities and carry our sin and carry our struggle and carry our shame. Jesus, the ultimate bodybuilder, heavyweight lifter, can carry the burdens that you and I oftentimes feel and the burdens that you oftentimes face. And here's what Paul says later on in Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. I want to close with this scripture. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. And so the question I want to ask you is, what happens if God does not remove it? What happens if God does not necessarily change it? Does that mean he's less powerful? No. What it simply means is that you're going to see an element of God and an element of his strength that you would have never seen had you not gone through what it is that you're going through. So in other words, in your weakness, that is when you experience strength. That in your weakest moment, in your most darkest moment, that is when God shines the brightest. That when you're going through it, that is when God shows up. That the power is not in whether he removes it or not. The power is in the fact that God can sustain you, strengthen you in it. So his grace is enough. So we lean on his grace. I want to encourage you this year to lean on the grace and the strength of God, not on your own strength. I want us to move from a place where we think everything has to do with what we do in our own strength, the works of the flesh the Bible speaks about so often. But now will we put our dependence on the Lord, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In other words, don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own strength. No. Lean on God. Lean on Jesus, because he will then direct your paths. And let me help you understand something about grace, which is the strength of God, the power of God that sustains you. Grace will take you places that grind cannot. Some of you guys have been grinding, doing this, doing that. You've been trying to muster up willpower, and God says, you're working too hard. Give it to me. Let my grace enter in. Because when you got my grace, you'll see that it's sufficient for you. You got my grace, the things that were heavy, now don't feel so heavy. Because if you've given it to Jesus, and his strength is made perfect and weakness. And I don't know what your struggle is. I don't know what you've been dealing with. It may have been financial, relational, mental, psychological, emotional, spiritual. It may even be sexual. I don't know what your struggle is, but what I do know is this, that God's grace is sufficient for you. His strength is made perfect in weakness. His strength is fully revealed in weakness. Some of you came here today weak. I want you to know you're in good company, because all of us are weak in and of ourselves. But man, when we admit that, God, I'm weak, and I can't do this on my own, that is when you begin to experience the incredible grace and strength and power of God. That is when God begins to step in and do his best work. God majors in doing great things in the lives of weak people all throughout the course of the Bible. When people had moments of weakness, that is when God did some of his best work. And I want you to know today, if you feel like you are in the middle of a struggle and in the middle of a weakness, God is here. He is fighting for you. His strength is available to you. His grace is for you. He wants to help you. He wants to equip you. He wants to empower you. He wants to carry the weight that you've been trying to carry yourself. It's the good news of the gospel. I'm going to ask us all to stand to our feet in this moment. I believe that some of us are here today. You're dealing with a struggle. You're dealing with a difficulty. I want you to understand something about this. Difficult moments require dependency on God. It's time for you to stop depending on yourself and to depend on Jesus. It's time for you to stop trying to carry this weight that on your own will tear something, bruise something, hurt something, and give the weight to Jesus. I don't know what your weight is. Some of us are dealing with the weight of a marriage, the weight of a financial situation, the weight of a loved one who doesn't know Jesus. I don't know what it is. The weight that you're carrying today, the weight of sickness in your family, I don't know what that weight is, but what I do know is the one who can carry that weight, the one who wants to carry that weight, and the one who wants to strengthen you in the midst of that weight. His grace is sufficient for you. So I want to pray for you. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray for the person right here today who is here struggling, straining right now, trying to carry something that was never meant for them to carry. You allowed the weight to come. You allowed them to go through the weight. You allowed us to go through it, not so we could carry it ourselves, but for you to carry it for us. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we place the weight of the world in your hands. The thorn in our side, Jesus, we trust in you. You can relate to this, because just as we have a thorn, you wore a crown of thorns. You felt the pain that we feel, to be able to give us the strength that we need. We thank you for that. And I pray right now, God, that your grace will be sufficient in the lives of each and every single person here today, no matter their age, high school, middle school students, college students, young adults, married, single, parents, divorced, whoever they are. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would strengthen them, and that they would know that you are the source of strength, and that your strength is enough, and that your grace is enough. In Jesus' name, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're here today and you're saying, today I need to depend on Jesus, I need to give him my life, I'm tired of carrying the weight on my own, today I want to give him the weight. And the way that you do that is by giving your life to him, is by saying yes to Jesus, it's by saying, Jesus, I want you to step into my life and carry the weight of my sin because it's too heavy. I want you to carry the weight of my shame because it's too heavy. I want you to carry it, Lord. Would you do it? If you're here today and you're saying, I want to give my life to Christ, I want you to repeat these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my sin. I give you my shame. I believe that you died for my sin and that you rose from the grave. Jesus, be my Lord. Jesus, be my Savior. Thank you for new life. Thank you for saving me. In your name I pray. We all said amen.